Harry Roque, thank you so much for joining me on Upfront. Filipino President Rodrigo Duterte has only a few months left in office, and perhaps his most memorable legacy will be his so-called drug war. That includes a spree of killings that has left thousands of people dead. Your own government reports some 6,200, while a 2020 UN report says the number of killings could be more than 20,000. That same UN report found that of more than 42,000 anti-illegal drug operations carried out by the police, only 1.2% were based on an actual arrest warrant. You're a lawyer. You identify as a human rights champion. How do you explain these numbers?
Well, that's a matter being investigated now by the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, and I leave it to the prosecutor. And of course, the ICC prosecutor is now looking into whether or not there is liability because these crimes are ongoing and domestic courts are unable or unwilling to take cognizance of the matter. Right now, the evidence is being examined by the prosecutor, and we leave it at that.
Well, I know we want to leave it at that, but I want to press you just a little bit, because just looking at the raw numbers, it feels a bit odd that 1.2% could be based on an arrest warrant. That means that we see a large number of anti-drug operations happening, and it's not clear how or why.
I don't know where you got the figures. I don't have personal knowledge about these figures, and I cannot comment on something that I don't have any personal knowledge of. But I will say that the president has enjoyed the highest satisfaction rating ever in Philippine history. That is at 72%, and a trust rating of 69%. No other Philippine president has come close to these numbers in terms of satisfaction rating and trust rating. I don't know where your statistics are coming from, but I do know what the polls say, and that the people are very happy. The Filipino people, at least, are very satisfied and have trusted the president until now, which is unprecedented in Philippine history, which is understandable. This is the only president that gave us universal health care in the Philippines, which is now covered 110 million Filipinos.
Let me pause you for a moment, sir. I mean, again,
tens of thousands of people have given free college tuition to all college students, no? And the people,
of course, appreciate these programs, the reason why
they have given him unprecedented trust and satisfaction rating.
No. Mr. Roque, I mean, these aren't competing claims, though. It is entirely possible to give people college access. It's completely possible to give people all sorts of resources and still have a very stunning violation of human rights taking place in the country. And for those tens of thousands of people who have been subjected to these drug operations, and for the thousands of people who have been killed, those other issues that you raised wouldn't be sufficient to justify what's happened. As far as the numbers go, it's not something that you and I can agree upon in this show. No, but just one second, sir.
It's not something that you and I can agree on this show.
That's fine.
These are matters which have to be brought to the courts, and you're not the judge. So let's not sit as prosecutor and judge.
I'm not attempting to be, but just for clarity's sake.
You can't discuss cases without the facts. I'm a lawyer. You're not, and I'm telling you, you can't do that. Now, there are investigations ongoing. We cannot resolve supposedly 5,000 or thousands and thousands of deaths, whether or not they're murders, in a talk show. You do that in a court of law.
Well, it's adjudicated in a court of law, but just to be clear, and I'd like to finish this sentence and this thought. One, the number of people who died, you say you don't know where these facts come from. Even the most conservative number comes from the Philippine Drug Enforcement Agency of 6,221. And as far as the percentage of people who have been who were investigated because of a warrant, that 1.2% number that I said comes from the report of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. And you said we should appeal to international bodies in order to decide these matters. It's the international bodies that's coming up with the numbers that you're finding that you're skeptical of. And as far as the International Criminal Court, Duterte himself, Mr. Duterte, has said that he doesn't respect the International Criminal Court. And he has also been quoted as saying, "I will never apologize for the deaths. Kill me, jail me, I will never apologize." Does that sound like someone who is willing to respond appropriately to the decision of any governing body?
What is your point? As I said, it's not for you and I to discuss. It's now being investigated by proper authorities, international and domestic. Let's leave it at that. if there is necessity and if there is proportionality, then the killings become legal because they are legal. And that's according to human rights standards. But as I said, you have to go through each and every one of these cases, and you can't conclude carte blanche, not in a talk show.
I agree that we have to unpack these cases. I disagree that this isn't the place for us to do it. This is exactly the place for us to interrogate people about issues that matter. Your country is ranked 138th in press freedom by Reporters Without Borders, with the organization citing, quote, the authoritarian course taken by Duterte. The Philippines is one of the most dangerous places in the world to practice journalism, and its notorious libel law has been used to target, to criminalize, and create impunity for the killing of journalists. What does that say about the state of democracy?
Well, the UN Human Rights Committee asked the Philippine government to decriminalize libel. It hasn't happened, and that's part and parcel of my legislative agenda, to decriminalize libel. Now, I don't know what standards the Reporters Without Borders has, but I can tell you we have one of the freest presses in the world. And proof of this, of course, is as far as the president is concerned, he's not filed any single libel case against the journalists. He would answer back in the manner that they ask questions, but that's fair play, because you can't expect the president to be meek and polite, no, when he's being subjected to a barrage of questions. No? So I would say that's their opinion. But as far as I know, and I've represented many journalists in this country, the journalists are doing their job and doing it well.
Yeah, the issue here, though, and I appreciate your analysis of the criminalization of libel. That's a piece of it. But we're also talking about the killing of journalists in the country. The ranking of 138th in press freedom is something that still must be understood and examined. But we're looking at cases. I mean,
again, perhaps.
For example, in its latest Global Impunity Index, the Committee to Protect Journalists noted that the Philippines has 13 unsolved media killings. That's up from 11 in 2020. Data from CPJ also shows that 85 journalists were murdered in the Philippines between 1992. In 2021. And Rodrigo Duterte, President Duterte, in June of 2016, he issued this warning after being sworn. And he said, just because you're a journalist, you are not exempted from assassination if you're a son of a bitch. Freedom of expression cannot help you if you have done something wrong. What do you make of that quote?
Nothing. It's a statement of an opinion that journalists also have to be careful with what they do, no?
So he said assassination. He said you're not exempted from assassination. That's not just a statement. Would you agree that that'd be at least a threat of some sort?
You know, you can make your own conclusions. I'm not here to debate.
No, I'm not debating. I'm asking what you're... I respect you and want to know your... As a human rights attorney, I would be curious to know what your analysis is. If you heard that the president of a country said...
Well, that's his personal statement of opinion. We're talking about freedom of expression. Who says he doesn't have the freedom of expression too?
Okay.
But what's important is under his regime. He started an official office that has to deal with media killings, and it has resulted in unprecedented convictions.
Okay.
So let's don't blame it on the
As you like to say, we won't agree, so let's move forward. Let's talk about who will soon replace President Duterte. Bongbong Marcos Jr., the son of former dictator Ferdinand Marcos, is the current frontrunner. He's been caught repeatedly trying to siphon away some of the billions of dollars that his father stole from the Filipino people during his rule, 6 years of which Bongbong served in government. He's also routinely minimized the severity of the human rights abuses that were committed by his father's regime. Is the unapologetic son of a dictator really the best choice for the next president?
He has not been found guilty of siphoning money. He was impleaded as co-administrator of the Marcos estate, but he was never charged with anti-graft law violation. And there's not been any decision against him for human rights violations either, be it in the Philippines or under the Alien Tort Claims Act in the United States. So I'm really surprised at where this is coming from, because as a lawyer, I did a due diligence on Bongbong Marcos, and I found no cases against him, other than in his representative capacity as an assistant or deputy administrator of his father's estate.
He was found guilty of tax evasion, no?
No, not tax evasion. Failure to file tax returns, which is different from tax evasion.
It is a distinction without a difference,
yes,
some would argue.
Covered by special law.
No.
You're laughing.
You're a very good lawyer, sir.
No, I think you should know the law first.
You are a very good lawyer, sir. My question, though, is do you feel that
I'm having fun.
Do you feel that he has demonstrated the character and that he, and after your due diligence that you say you performed, do you feel like he's the appropriate person to be the next president?
You know, in a democracy, the people will answer that. It's not for you and me. I'm not an opinion maker. So I will allow the people to decide that issue. That's how a democracy works. Whether or not we like the person, he may be the most vile as far as some quarters are concerned, but if the people will choose him, so be it. You know, they say, is saying the voice of the people is the voice of God. Let the people decide. That's a political question. Only the sovereign people can answer that.
Right. And you're a citizen and a vocal supporter of his candidacy. So I would imagine if you're a vocal supporter of his candidacy, then you could answer the question as a supporter of his candidacy, no?
Well, I consider him the most qualified because I think the most important experience to be president is experience in an executive position. And he has had the longest period to have served as a local government executive as governor of his province. No? So I think he's most qualified.
Sir, before we go, just one more question. You have been a celebrated human rights attorney. You have championed many important causes. Some would view your current position, both running for office and defending some of the most horrific dimensions of a repressive government as a kind of moral fall from grace. What would you say to those people who say that you have been co-opted, sold out, or otherwise morally corrupted?
Nothing. Those are the thoughts of very bigoted and narrow-minded individuals. I value freedom of expression, so be it. Let the people decide. That's why I'm standing for elections, too. I stood for elections one, was elected. We'll see what the people say as well. Let the people decide.
Sir, thank you so much for joining me on Upfront.